spiritual warfare is not your mate trying to argue with you. Father, that's the demons right now. Father, I just begin to cast that out right now. I take authority. You don't need to take authority over your mate. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But your biggest warfare is whether or not you're going to do what God wants you to do.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and welcome to the Light of the World. Many of you are in a season now at the beginning of the year where we are focusing on prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you that this is the time like never before for the people of God to call on the Lord and seek His face and give us His divine wisdom and His power so that we can make it through another year. Join us now as I share this message to keep on praying.
Go home and look at your television. It's not on, but it's got a little green light or a little red light on it. That means that it's plugged up, but the power switch ain't been hit. You might be plugged up, but you need to hit the power switch so the thing will energize. Say, Lord, I know something's in there, but I can't hardly feel it. Ain't nothing working, seem like. Lord, fill me up again. Now, if we have this power and is able to do more than we can ask or imagine for His kingdom, there's something else we need to know. We need to know that there is an adversary, an enemy of God, and an enemy of you who do not want you to use that power. The devil been doing this long before we got here, so he knows about that power. He knows what happened when somebody know that they have it. And he knows what he's in for. If everybody in here knew what they had and would release it, he would say, man, we're going to get whooped this week. Because those folks at the Light of the World know what they got, first of all. And they look like they're ready to use it. And he's going to get all of the forces of the kingdom of darkness and say, we got to put a preemptive strike on them. That's nothing to be scared of, because the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But we have an adversary. So what I want to encourage you now, that we've done 21 days of fasting and prayer, that was just the kickoff. Now you need to keep on praying. You let your guard down. He said, I'm going to see what's going to happen. You've been fasting and praying. I'm finna to come at you full force. Amen. There's an adversary. If you do use the power, he knows what might happen. You may just bring someone from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus Christ if you use that power. If you use that power, someone who was about to lose their mind may be freed up. That oppression and that depression, they may come to God if you use that power. If you use that power, someone who's addicted and bound by drugs and alcohol and illicit behavior may be loosed, and they may begin to serve God. If you use that power, someone who's lost and is without hope may hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and may come to Christ and get out of the grip of Satan and come to the saving cross of Jesus Christ if you use that power. And because you have the potential of the power, Paul encourages us to keep on keeping on in prayer. And I want you to see that very quickly in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. He says this to the church in verse 18. And pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always do what? Keep on praying for all the saints, because all the saints is going to need the prayer. The King James says it this way, praying always in with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. That passage says you need to always keep on praying on every occasion, praying at all seasons with every kind of prayer in the sphere of the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit. Keep on praying. This is a good time to build your prayer life and to get ready and get to the place where whatever the devil send your way, you're already one step ahead of him, because you've been praying in the Spirit. Then he says, keep it in mind. Always be alert and always keep on praying for yourself and for each other and for all the saints. Now, I want you to know that verse 18 that we just read is at the end of this passage that Paul is talking about putting on the whole armor of God. It's the passage about our warfare. Many of us know that passage. Paul is saying to the church to prepare for war, not conventional war, but a war against spiritual forces who wants to destroy your ability to release the power of God in your life. He wants to destroy that ability. He wants to get you so discouraged. He wants to get you distracted. He wants to get you defeated. He wants to put distance between you and the church. You're going to stop coming to church like you want to. Distance between your prayer life. Distance between your reading the Bible. You've got stuff going on. You've got issues. You've got all kinds of stuff. You're busy. You're trying to make some more money. You're trying to work overtime. You're doing everything to try to make your life work. And a lot of times we don't equate that with a strategy of the enemy to keep you from being connected and releasing the power. Jesus said this, as a matter of fact, don't you worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, what's coming into your house. He said the ungodly people, the people don't know me, they worry about that stuff. You need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll add all of that to you. I know that if the enemy gets you worried about that stuff, you're not going to want to do anything I want you to do, and you won't release the power. Spiritual warfare is not your mate trying to argue with you. Father, that's the demons right now. Father, I just begin to cast that out right now. I take authority. You don't need to take authority over your mate. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But your biggest warfare is whether or not you're going to do what God wants you to do. Are you going to be available to God? Amen. That's the biggest warfare. Your biggest warfare is whether I'm going to go to church this morning. Baby, you coming? I don't know, baby. We went last Sunday. That's your warfare. Baby, you going to prayer? No, I'm tired. That's your warfare. Amen. You need to be reading your Bible. Oh, Lord, I'm just tired. That's your warfare. We know that passage where Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God and take our stand against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. And at the end of telling them to put on the whole armor, he tells them to keep on praying because the fight is on for the Christian soldier. But at the beginning of the passage, he tells them in verse 10, before he tells them about spiritual warfare and putting on the whole armor, and after he tells them first of all to be strong in the Lord. Verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We will be strong and we will keep our connection with God when we do these three things I want to mention to you. Here's your action plan. I don't know where you are, but I think all of us can be stronger. I can be stronger in the Lord. And I'm going to do these things as well. I want to put this out here for you. How do I position myself to be in a place where God can use my life and I can have the power of God flowing to me and through me so that I can make a difference wherever I'm at? Listen, you ought to be a difference maker. When you go to work, are you the one whose attitude everybody tries to avoid because you got issues? Don't y'all mess with me this morning. Or are you the one that people like to be around because you bring peace and joy and goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control? That's just the fruit of the Spirit. Why is the culture messed up like it is? It's not the culture. They're doing what they do. The people of God is not doing what God designed. That's why we're not making a difference. He put us here to be different makers. He didn't save you just so you can go to heaven. If he did, he'd have ended your life as soon as you say, Lord, I want to give my life to you. The Lord said, okay, I got it. You through. No, he says, I'm saving you so you can go out and give some hope to somebody that don't have any hope. Give some help to somebody that don't have any help. You can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. You can loose those that are bound, set the captives free. You can do the things that I'm doing. Jesus said, you will do greater works. Remember he said that? And I used to wonder, how can I do greater things than Jesus? I can't. But with my little part and your little part and your little part and you and you and you and you, all of us together working, we're going to do a whole lot more than he was able to do. So he never intended for the church to have church only. He never intended for your church life to be coming to church and stamping your ticket, says, I've been to church, now let me go and do the rest of the stuff I planned on doing today. And then don't think about it till next week. No, once you leave here, you ought to be engaged and you ought to be making a difference, and the power of God ought to be flowing out of you. So wherever you go, somebody ought to be blessed. And when you are connected in the Spirit of God through prayer, God can talk to you. Amen. God can say, listen, go over there and talk to that person over there. Philip was on his way somewhere, and God said, see that man sitting in that chariot over there? Go talk to him. Philip said, I got somewhere to go, Lord. Lord said, you going to go? Yes, yes, sir. I'll go. He went over there. This was the Ethiopian sitting up there reading the books of Isaiah, scratching his head, said, what does this mean? And Philip come up there and he began to explain it to him. And the man says, man, I want to receive the Lord. Can I be baptized right now? He said, yes, I'll baptize you right now. His availability to the Lord won that man to the Lord. But if you ought to see what happened after that. Next thing the Bible said, the Lord translated Philip to get right where he wanted to be on time. See, he ain't going to mess you up when you release yourself to him. But if we're going to release the power, that means we have a connection where God can use us anytime, anywhere. And that's what God is wanting out of us. He's not going to take our life and take us someplace where he didn't already design for us to go. He want to use you right there in your workplace, right there with your visions, your dreams, the ideas that he puts in your life. He ain't going to mess you up. All he's going to do is make your life better. Do this. Number one, begin with your personal prayer life. Where are you at in your personal prayer life? Begin to dedicate intentional time in prayer with the Lord regularly, daily. And you can do that with all kinds at all times. Dedicated time of prayer. You may be praying now, and I'm not one of these that say we need to spend 1 hour of prayer each day. No, I'm not going to tell you that. But I'm going to tell you, whatever you're doing now, increase it. You know, I read a survey once that said most Christians pray less than 3 minutes a day. If prayer is one of the most powerful things we can do, why would we do it less than we do anything else? You know why? Because you got an adversary that don't want you to pray. The devil don't want you to pray. That's why you have a hard time being regular at it. You got an adversary. He don't try to stop you from watching The Housewives of Atlanta. You can sit there for an hour and then sit there through the commercials. Start trying to pray. Some of y'all need to get mad enough to say, the thing I like to watch all the time, I got time to watch that. I ain't watching it until after I pray. And by the time you get through praying, you might not need to watch it. The Lord might say, turn that mess off. That's not edifying to you, because after a while, you're trying to act like them. And some people don't want to come to church, but somebody is preaching to you every time you turn that thing on. They're giving you a message. They're giving you a philosophy. They are imparting into your heart, your mind, and your spirit, and you'll find yourself saying some of the same things they say when you get in the same situation. And you wonder where that came from. You've been absorbing it. Dedicate some time in prayer. Decide that you would increase your prayer life. Also, take a time. Look at prayers in the Bible. Where others prayed, read their prayer, read the results of their prayer, how they prayed, how God moved for them in prayer. Read some books on prayer. We have a couple of them in the bookstore. Get a prayer devotional, some tools to help you to think about prayer, to learn to pray. And then if you want to learn to pray, get around people who pray. Get around some people who pray. Now, don't use this excuse. I can't pray in public. Well, you might not can pray in public, but you can say, yes, Lord, amen, hallelujah. Get around some people. Ain't nobody going to make you pray. One of the most effective prayers that got immediately answered in the Bible was three words. Peter was sinking. He said, Lord, save me. You don't have to pray like nobody else. God knows your heart. Some people are intimidated. They don't know how to pray. They don't know what to say. Get around people. Those of you who are not working during the daytime on Tuesday, come to prayer. Say, I'm going to come. And listen, I'm not going to tell you to come every Tuesday, but you ought to come some Tuesdays. If you're sitting at home at 12 o'clock, ain't nothing on but soap operas and CNN. Just come to prayer. Those of you who have jobs where you have the flexibility and you're in the area, stop by and join in prayer. Brother DeBose talked about that earlier. He's sitting over here. I said, you ain't doing nothing. Let's go in there and pray. You sick? Let's pray. You just get around Sister Douglas and Sister Clinton long enough, you're going to learn how to do something. You'll be praying like them all. You'll be walking like Sister Douglas. I had to close the door. We got a business meeting down the hall. They said, what's going on now? We ain't torturing nobody. They down there praying. Hallelujah. It's all right. It's all right. They're praying. And glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, our church have regular prayer meetings. We have prayer meetings on every Tuesday at 12. We have prayer meetings every second Friday at 7. We have prayer meetings every fourth Tuesday at 7. We have prayer meetings every Sunday morning beginning at 8:30. How many have you been to over the last year? If you've not represented your family and you said, I'm going to pray, you ought to come together with the people of God and pray at least sometime. Somebody from the house ought to be showing up. Whatever you make a priority, that's what you're going to do. Amen. Prayer ought to be a priority in your life. Because there's going to be a time when there will be no other help you know. There's going to be a time. You may not have hit it yet. But there's going to be a time when you're going to have to get before the Lord. And ain't nobody going to help you but God. And you don't want to be practicing in that time. You want to know that you know that I can call on him. And he'll know my voice. That's what you're going to want to know, because when it comes to that time, you can be so prayed up. You can be such a person of prayer that you can get to a place you can only think about what you need and God will start answering your prayer. You're in a critical situation. You don't want to go get somebody's instruction book, how to receive from God. You're trying to read it. First of all, humble yourself. Well, what I need to do to humble myself? You will come to humble. We're at the Light of the World, 16161 Old Humble Road. Come to Humble, you'll learn how to pray. First of all, I want you to begin with determination to increase your personal prayer time and build up your prayer life. Secondly, commit to attending prayer meeting at church. At church, corporate prayer. There's all kinds of prayers, your individual prayer, your prayers at home, your prayers at the church, coming together, the people of God, coming together for the common agreement of prayer. It'll help you to learn how to pray, and I gave you those prayer times. I think one of these times, if we can just get up to the place where one of the most exciting and attended services would be a prayer meeting on a regular basis. You know, there is a church that happened to, when on Tuesday nights, you have to stand in line to get into the building sometime to go pray, because people are coming all over the city for prayer. That's all they do. And you're talking about signs and wonders and miracles. Find that in church. If you can have a musical with rap singers, we pack the place out. But you talk about prayer, you can go bowling in the church and hit nobody. But this house shall be a house of prayer. Third, I want you to practice praying. Practice praying. Parents, pray for and with your children. Practice praying. Pray for them before they go out of the house. You may say, I don't know how to pray that much. You got a one-year-old. They don't know. Pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, just bless them as they go out. Don't you want them to have a blessed day? Don't you want them to be safe? You don't want them to be sick when they go to school and get exposed to all kinds of viruses and things. You say, Lord, keep our home safe and what have you. Fathers, pray over your home. Pray over your wife. Pray over your children. Come on, men. You the head. Step up and just say, come to men's fellowship. I'll tell y'all what to say. I don't want to tell you what to say now because your wife said, you hear what the pastor said. You supposed to be seeing the wife. You hear what the pastor said. How come you ain't doing what the pastor said? He told you to say it like that. Ain't what he told you to say. So come to men's fellowship. I'll tell y'all exactly what to say because I don't want it to be held against you. Amen. Allow God to use you to pray for others as he directs by his spirit. There's somebody on your job that's going through tremendous challenges, sickness, loss of loved one. There's nobody on your job that can minister to them better than you. God put you on that job right where you are. You know why he put you on that job? You think he put you on that job so you can make a living. God put you on that job because he need a light. When you say, Lord, I want to be available, that don't mean he's going to call you up behind the pulpit for you to preach. That means that he wants to use you in any occasion, and you need to be prayed up and connected with God so he can use you right where you are. Yeah, you might have your own issues. Yeah, you might not be feeling well yourself. Sometimes God's sense of humor will have you to pray for somebody when you're not feeling well. You sick yourself, and I'll say, pray for that other person. And in your obedience sometimes, he come back and heal you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Because you are obedient, and you said, Lord, I want to be a light to you. And I believe this. The reason I believe that there is no joy in the church like there ought to be, there's no rejoicing in the church like there ought to be, is because we are not allowing God to engage with us during the week and we can see God moving through us. I guarantee you, if all of us would come back and say, you know, Pastor, last week I was doing something and I felt in my heart to pray for this person at the gas station and they gave their life to the Lord. You know what you're going to do when you come to church? You're going to say, thank you, Lord. God, you're moving. I know you're moving. You know, we ought to be coming back in here on Sunday morning doing cartwheels because we've seen what God do all week long.
Amen.
We ought not be coming to the church to see what's going to happen in church. We come into church to see what's going to happen in the church. No, it ought to have been happening in the street, and this is a place where we just come to testify.
Amen.
Paul says, and keep on praying. I want you to keep on praying. Start praying. Keep on praying. Learn to pray. Become a person of prayer. If we do that, become a person of prayer, this will be a house of prayer, and we'll see God's power move in a significant and a supernatural way. Father, your word said that we ought to keep on praying with all prayer and supplications, and we are the people that you've called to this place. We are the people that you have called, the members of this church, the people that are here. We're the ones you're going to have to work with because we're the ones that's here. You called us on purpose, not accidentally, but on purpose. You know what our issues are. You know what our past has been like. You know what our struggles are, but you still called us. You know what we're dealing with right now, but you still called us. And you said, Lord, if we would just come to you and be people of prayer and humble ourselves, you'll do more through us than we can ask or think or imagine. With that incomparably great power that is at work within us. Father, I thank you, Father, that it's as we begin to seek your face, not out of a project, but out of our process of getting to know you better, that you would just begin to speak to us in ways that we haven't experienced in the past. You'll begin to use us in ways that we haven't experienced in the past. You use our personalities, you use our temperament, you use our disposition, you use the place where you set us so that we can make a difference. Somebody will come to you because we went to them. We thank you for using this church and this time and this season. This is our season. This is our season to touch those that are hurting. Touch those that are lost. Touch those that are sick. Father, there are ministers all over the building. We ask you to release the ministry. And these your people who make themselves available. Father, build up our prayer lives. Help us, Almighty God, to spend more time with you than ever before. And we thank you for the results of our communion with you in the name of Jesus.
This is Jerry G. Martin. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you to continue to seek the face of God. The Bible tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, I will hear you and I will heal your land. This is the time more than ever before to seek the face of God. We're going to be doing that all month long at the Light of the World. We're marshaling our prayer teams. Every one of our members are challenged to spend a time of fasting and prayer. And we want to make ourselves available to join you in your prayer need. Here's what I want you to do. If you have a need that we can join you in prayer with, why don't you let us know? You can reach us in three ways. You can call us at 281-964-1393 and give us your prayer request. I'm going to give you that number again in just a moment. You can email us at lowcf@lowcf.org, or you can go to our website at lowcf.org. There's a place for you to leave a request there as well. Again, you can call us at 281-964-1393. Leave your name and your request. We're going to get it to our prayer team. No matter what you're going through, there may be sickness in your family. Someone may be recovering or having this virus. Someone just need to come to Christ. Whatever our needs are, we can go to God, and He says He will meet our need. We are praying for you. For the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.